Time now for World Sports from the BBC. Hello from me, John Bennett. Coming up, the 2010 NBA champions, the LA Lakers, sack their coach just 5 games into the season. Novak Djokovic and Andy Murray are into the semi-finals of the ATP World Tour Finals. And we have the latest from the first test between South Africa and Australia. But let's start with basketball. And in the last few hours, Mike Brown has been fired as the coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. That's after his team started the NBA season by losing 4 out of their first 5 games. Lakers general manager Mitch Kupchak announced the surprising move several hours before they hosted Golden State. Assistant coach Bernie Bickerstaff will coach the Lakers against the Warriors. Brown was barely a month into his second season with the team, who have the worst record in the Western Conference so far this season, but the NBA's largest payroll at more than $100 million. Brian Mahoney is the NBA reporter from Associated Press. I asked him if player power was the reason Brown was fired.
Well, we don't know for sure, but that's always the case when these things happen. You speculate that just it was an issue between the players and the coaches. Obviously, we all saw a couple games ago that Kobe Bryant looked very unhappy on the bench, and people wonder if he was angry toward the coach. So that kind of thing always happens, and, you know, obviously a lot of factors go into it. I'm sure that's one of them.
So what's been the reaction in the USA? Do people think it's quite harsh to get rid of him so soon, so early into the season?
Yes. The majority of the reaction I saw is a little surprise and some disappointment in the Lakers. A lot of people like Mike Brown. He's a very nice guy. He's had a great record in Cleveland, and he did well last year in Los Angeles. People might have been surprised they hired him in the first place. There were other candidates we thought they might hire. But to fire him now, 5 games into the season, people think he didn't get a full chance to let things develop as they may have.
So Bernie Bickerstaff, the assistant coach, is in charge now for the next game. What do you think will happen after that?
Well, they'll be able to hire a very prominent candidate. It's a great job. They have a very good team. They have all kinds of money to pay. Brian Shaw, they passed over last time. They may try and look back to him. Maybe they try and see if Phil Jackson will come back. There's plenty of other big names out there, and the Lakers for sure will be able to get one of them.
That's Brian Mahoney. Let's move on to football now. The Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger, has challenged his players to lift the flat atmosphere at the Emirates Stadium by playing to their full potential against Fulham on Saturday. Arsenal have only picked up 15 points from their first 10 games. That represents the club's worst start to a season in the Premier League era. Let's hear from Arsene Wenger. He knows Fulham will be tough opponents.
They are very efficient going forward. Odaniga, they have, of course, Berbatov, and offensively, they're to create many chances and to score goals. 21 goals is quite impressive in 10 games.
The match will be live on Sports World on the BBC World Service on Saturday. Earlier, Sports World presenter Lee James spoke to the BBC football commentator Alistair Bruce Ball. He agrees with Wenger that Fulham won't make it easy for Arsenal.
As Arsene Wenger just made the point himself there, I'm not necessarily sure they're going to get it. I mean, Fulham have been very impressive so far this season. Traditionally don't do so well on the road, but they are scoring lots and lots of goals. They're level on points with Arsenal in the table. Arsene Wenger mentioned Dimitar Berbatov there. I watched Fulham the other week in a 3-3 draw at Reading. He barely breaks out of a jog, but he is the man that makes it all happen. He's a fantastic player. I mean, you would bet on an Arsenal win. I just think they look so vulnerable at the moment. I was doing a commentary with Robbie Savage earlier this week, and he was making the point that back in the day when he played in the Premier League and you had an away game against Arsenal up against Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp, Patrick Vieira, you'd go there worried about keeping the score down. Any team now, I think, goes to Arsenal and thinks, do you know what? We could win today.
Chelsea versus Liverpool, I mentioned. That's live on Sports World this Sunday from 16 hours GMT. There's some major work going on for Brendan Rodgers at the moment, though.
Yes, there is. I mean, they have a really good record against Chelsea and at Chelsea. I think they've done the double over Chelsea in 3 of the last 4 seasons. I just think you look at the two teams at the moment. And Brendan Rodgers, you know, is in there for the long term. That's the plan. You know, Liverpool could do it on the one-off, and you could certainly see them beating Chelsea in a one-off game. I just think consistently over a season, just Chelsea at Chelsea are miles ahead of Liverpool at the moment.
That's the BBC football commentator Alistair Bruce-Ball. Newcastle United manager Alan Pardew says he would be open to West Ham forward Andy Carroll returning to the club. Carroll returns to face his former side at St James's Park on Sunday. He left Newcastle for a record fee of $55 million back in January 2011. But Pardew hasn't ruled out making a bid for the England striker next year.
I'd never dismiss it because I think he's a player. And, you know, if I had Andy and Kevin in this group, I'd be really happy because they'd really enhance my squad. But the finances are such that that wasn't possible. But, you know, they could easily play for this side.
Staying with football, Ulsan Hyundai of South Korea take on Saudi Arabia's Al Ahly in the final of the Asian Champions League in Ulsan on Saturday. Both sides are aiming to win the competition for the first time, with the winners progressing to next month's Club World Cup in Japan. Our reporter Manny Jasmi looks ahead to the match.
Just like this year's European Champions League final, this match is taking place at the home of one of the finalists. But Ulsan shouldn't see that as an omen, because last year their compatriot Strongbook Motors also hosted the final and lost to Qatar's Al Sadd. Ulsan are top scorers in the competition, with strikers Hafinha, Lee Shin-wook and Lee Kun-ho scoring 16 goals between them. They go into the match having won their last 8 Champions League games. For Al Ahly, this is only the second time in their history that they're playing in East Asia. They've had a much less convincing journey to the final, but they did beat their Jeddah rivals Al Ittihad in the semi-finals. They'll be looking to their Brazilian striker Victor Simoes, who's the competition's third top scorer and used to play in South Korea.
And there were two notable matches on Friday. Mainz chalked up their fourth successive home victory, beating Nuremberg 2-1 to climb to fifth in Germany's Bundesliga. Mainz have been beaten in only one of their last 6 games. And in Spain's La Liga, Granada beat Real Betis 2-1 away from home. Now to tennis. World number one Novak Djokovic and US Open champion Andy Murray have both put their places in the semi-finals of the ATP Tour Finals in London. Djokovic beat Thomas Burdick 6-2, 7-6. Murray also won in straight sets, beating France's Joe Wilfried Tsonga. David Law was watching.
The big four in tennis may currently lack the injured Rafael Nadal, but Djokovic, Murray and Roger Federer have provided yet another reminder of why they're seemingly untouchable as a group. Two of their nearest pretenders, Thomas Berdych and Joe Wilfried Tsonga, both had their moments against Djokovic and Murray respectively, but ultimately both lost out in straight sets. Djokovic and Murray only needed to win a set to guarantee semi-final places, and they both achieved that goal with the minimum of trouble. Their opponents both fought back in the second, holding set points of their own, but Djokovic and Murray held firm to underline their superiority. Their semi-final opponents will be determined on Saturday. Federer needs a set against Juan Martin Del Potro to top Group B and face Murray in the semi-finals. Del Potro or David Ferrer will be the other member of the last four.
Finally to cricket, it's day two of the Test series between South Africa and Australia. Play isn't underway just yet though, because rain has delayed the start. In their first innings, South Africa 255 for 2. They dominated day one after an unbroken century stand between Hashim Amla and Jack Callis put the visitors in charge of the first test. And ABC's Jim Maxwell thinks that on the evidence of what he's seen so far, South Africa will win the series.
I think South Africa deserve to be favourites. I think they've got more strike power on the pitches we're going to play on, particularly in Perth, to win this series, and their batting looks a lot stronger. But having said that, people like James Pattinson are capable of turning a match around and doing it quickly. So Australia has a chance, but you have to favour South Africa to retain their number one ranking.
More on our website, bbc.com. Make sure you tune into Sports World later on Saturday.